Welcome into This Has to Work and our short mini-series, for lack of a better term, on the Alabama Futures Fund and some of the things that we've been working on over the last year. I'm Matt Hoddle. Over there is
Mickey Millsap.
And today we're going to talk a little bit about ecosystems, which is a buzzword that you hear a lot, but it really refers to kind of the startup communities within different geographic areas. And we've now been exposed to several of them. So we're going to talk a little bit about what we've seen in those and, you know, kind of how we're defining that. So let's just start with that. So when we say ecosystems, what is it that we're really talking about?
Well, when we're referring to ecosystems, we're talking about the startup communities, the founders, the investors, the service providers within them, everybody who comes together to make a startup community thrive.
Yeah, I think that's good. And it's usually tied to a geographic area.
That's right.
Right? I mean, that's at least loosely how it's defined. Now, I don't know, it's like city limits, but it's just general areas. I mean, Austin isn't just the city limits of Austin. That's a big ecosystem.
Although they do talk a lot about Austin city limits.
Well, that may be a bad example.
That's right.
Let's say Boston. Boston's a big place, and that's a big ecosystem.
Big ecosystem, New York. San Francisco is obviously not just San Francisco. It's, you know, the Valley. It's Oakland. It's all those places.
Yeah, and I think also, too, it's important, you know, just in fairness to say, it's really difficult to compare ecosystems, communities directly against each other. Right? Because they're very different and they're very unique in and of themselves. They may be, you know, I think in fairness, there's the Valley and then there's everything else, right? But how do you compare an Austin to a Boston? How do you compare an Atlanta to a Nashville? You know, so on and so forth. They're very different.
They're all very different. And I think geographically, different locations specialize in different things. You certainly have innovation clusters in some of these. You know, some, I know up in Boston, healthcare is really big. Nashville, we see a lot of healthcare, you know. But to your point, Silicon Valley is kind of the behemoth, you know, it runs the gamut of pretty much everything.
So we've been spending time in other areas. I mean, we're based in Birmingham, but we've been spending time, especially throughout the state of Alabama, you know, in support of the kind of investment thesis of investing in companies that are here or willing to relocate here. But where else? I mean, so we've been in, and so we've been in Birmingham, we've been in Mobile, we've been in Huntsville, you know, we've been in Auburn, we've been in Tuscaloosa, we've been around the state. But where else? I mean, let's talk a little bit about some of the other places that we spent some time.
So we spent a good amount of time in Atlanta. In fact, two of the companies that we funded went through Techstars in Atlanta. And Techstars, for those that don't know, is an accelerator program that works with early stage startups. Got them around the country, but yeah, so Atlanta, Nashville, Austin, Texas, my old hometown. So I was just there this past weekend and got to spend time actually at a new accelerator space and some really cool stuff going on there, and has been for a long time. So yeah, we've tried to kind of spread our wings a little bit and see, you know, we're not focused just on the Southeast, but I think a lot of the stuff that, because it's within driving distance, Chattanooga being another one, we've spent time in all of those.
Yeah. Also, do Tampa.
Yep,
your
that's
old
right. My
hometown.
Other old hometown.
Yeah.
That's right. Yep.
And so it's interesting. I feel like each one of those, kind of to the earlier point, are very different from each other and unique in their own ways. So what are some of the things that have stuck out to you as far as those, you know, very specifics within those ecosystems?
You know, the one that stands out probably the most is Atlanta. 10 years ago, there really wasn't much of a startup ecosystem at all. Atlanta's a very, very corporate town, a lot of Fortune 500 companies there, very big city. You know, you do tend to see startup ecosystems in smaller, kind of more community-oriented towns, and that's just not Atlanta. But what I've seen built there over the last 10 years, been a very concerted effort by the corporate community to invest in the startup community. So there's definitely been a lot of growth there. There's a lot of energy around it, a lot of great events there, similar to Nashville. I mean, I think you're seeing a lot of the growth in the last 5 to 7 years in Nashville, where there wasn't a community before. So throughout the Southeast, and Tampa's another one. I mean, I grew up there and have, you know, spent a lot of time in Tampa. There was nothing 10 years ago. So what's cool about the Southeast right now, and I think we're maybe a few years behind some of those, all of the kind of big cities in the Southeast are starting to develop their ecosystems. And so they're getting to kind of set the rules and the norms, and it's fun to watch.
One thing I think Atlanta has done really well, and some of this, you know, probably squarely falls at, you know, kind of the feet of Cox Communications,
yep.
But, you know, they probably have done a better job of coordinating kind of public-private efforts there than in most of the ecosystems of that size that we've seen so far or that we're familiar with. They've done a really, really good job. And one of the things I find specifically impressive about that is, you know, if you're a fan of Brad Feld, he's a big believer that resources should be made available to, you know, entrepreneurs, but then those resources, if they're not the entrepreneurs, should kind of get out of the way and let the entrepreneurs lead those efforts. So resource them and then kind of go away, right? I think for the most part, that's actually what Cox has been doing. I mean, Cox is staying engaged. Don't get me wrong. They're not just writing blank checks, but they're going in there and they are resourcing that community. And then they're letting that community kind of take its own lead, which I think is pretty admirable.
Yeah, I think it's a great thing. They've been a big supporter. They, they back Techstars there, so they've been a big part of that. And I think you kind of hit on the larger point, and I think Feld is exactly right, that big institutions, while they wield a lot of power in cities and they, you know, have a lot of influence, they're not really good at helping to lead and define what a startup ecosystem should be. So they're really best at being able to get, like you said, those resources into the hands of the entrepreneurs and let the innovators kind of create. When you can get out of the way, you have a better chance of the organic stuff happening where, you know, I think we go back and we've been talking about the last year of this fund. When we started, everybody said, well, this has to be an ecosystem focused on healthcare and fintech, right? And we said, well, I get that that's, you know, we've got big players in both of those, but let's put the money in the hands of the innovators and see what they do. But we're seeing all kinds of different stuff. So, I think it's good. I think being a good corporate partner to the startup world is hard, but yeah, Cox has done a great job.
One of the things that I think you see pretty quickly if you spend time, especially if you are going to different places in the country, or even for us, I mean, a lot of our focus has been in kind of the southern United States, southeastern United States, and you start to realize that there are trade-offs. I mean, we certainly saw it within, you know, the companies that we were able to attract, you know, who were coming from San Francisco or Atlanta or Virginia, whatever the case may be. And there seem to be these trade-offs for all of these ecosystems. And, you know, whether those, you know, are apparent or not, you know, you see, well, you know, how am I looking at this? If I have plenty of funding available, is there also the competition that goes along with it for that funding? Is there a lot of capital, but it is siloed into only a few places, right? Those kinds of things. Do you think that that's true across the board for all ecosystems, that, you know, there's just kind of this yin and this yang or these trade-offs?
Well, I think so. I mean, what's interesting to me is having been in the Austin ecosystem, having visited quite a few, we all kind of face the same problems. You know, when people first hear, oh, you're starting an ecosystem in Birmingham and people, I'm going to fund my company there. Oh, it's going to be hard to find talent. Well, guess what? It's hard to find talent in Austin. It's hard to find talent in Boston. It's just all to a different scale, right? So, you know, we talk about, I think one of the advantages we have, at least in the Birmingham ecosystem, is cities like Austin and New York and others, Amazon has offices there, Facebook has offices there, Twitter has offices in some of those cities. You know, they can afford Google to pay talent a lot more. We don't have that constraint here. So, for the startups, there's more access to some of those things. So, you know, there are trade-offs, certainly, but I think really there can be advantages in getting out of those big, really concentrated startup hubs.
Yeah, we had dinner with some folks that were locating part of their organization as part of the Birmingham Bound initiative. They were locating some of their sales efforts here in Birmingham, and they were from the Phoenix area. And they were talking about how, you know, yes, the talent pool by numbers is larger in Phoenix for some of the positions, technical positions that they're looking for. But they were like, but we also have Microsoft, Facebook, Google, and GoDaddy. He's like, all with operations there. And he's like, so best case scenario, we might get the fifth look, right? The fifth best candidate that didn't get hired, or the fifth most interesting,
right? Yeah, that's right.
Candidate in that talent pool. And so, to your point, there is not necessarily an advantage if you can't take advantage of it.
Yeah, and I think the other kind of advantage to some of these smaller startup markets, or what we'll call, for lack of a better term, emerging ecosystems, is that cost of living and the cost of that talent. So even if you are in the Valley and you're competing with those big companies, the packages they're able to offer folks are ridiculously higher than a startup can do. what that means is, and what it translates into, and what I think is really advantageous to founders, is that they don't have to raise as much money, right? The economics for them are better from a fundraising standpoint, from an equity distribution. You know, if you come down here and raise $500,000, that's equal to, what, $2-2.5 million in the Valley, right?
Oh, at
maybe,
least.
Maybe at least, right?
I mean, it might be a 10X, actually.
So, you know, what your valuation's going to look like, what ownership's going to look like, all that stuff comes into play. And I think what I'm starting to see, at least me, is more and more founders, at least the ones we talk to, who are wanting to be a little bit more lean, more capital efficient, and they're looking for markets like ours, and they're looking to get out of some of those bigger ecosystems where the economics are just out of whack.
Yeah, I think that's true. I would definitely agree with that. So to that point, how should founders be thinking about their location strategically as it applies to their business? I mean, I don't know that we always think about it, right? You are where you are physically located, and you start thinking about building a company, but you don't necessarily think about, like, where am I physically located right now, and how is that strategic or not strategic for what I'm trying to
do? Well, I think first what I just talked about, right, the economics of it. You know, are you trying to run the company lean? You're not going to be able to do that in New York. You're not going to do that in Boston. But I think, you know, more importantly, it's where are you going to go where a community can contribute to the mission of what it is you're trying to build, right? If you're a logistics company, probably important to be in a city that has a strong logistics background. If you're going to be in healthcare, being in a city that has a major research institute and a major hospital is probably important. But kind of what it comes back to, and we've seen this with the Birmingham Bound program that Brittany Somerville here at Shipt runs so well, is it's about finding your community and your tribe, so to speak. I had a talk with a founder about that this morning. It's where are you going to go where you're going to get supported? Entrepreneurship is hard. Being a founder is hard. You need to go somewhere where you're going to get support for the good times and the bad times. And I think for every founder, kind of finding that space where people are going to listen to them and invest in them, just not just with money, but time, critically important.
Yeah, I think resources are often overlooked as far as in the margins. It's the stuff that you can't put it in a bank,
right?
You can't trade on it necessarily, but it's a huge part of what makes an early stage, especially company, successful. I mean, we've talked about access to capital. That's, you know, you need to have that. And you and having the talent pool in that community that supports what you're trying to build, of course. But your point about support systems is well made. And the other part of it, too, is proximity to customers. I mean, we looked at one not long ago, which was a really cool company. But they were based in the Northeast, and their technology was around accounting systems that are primarily used in the Northeast. And I started looking at it, and we started, like, nosing around, and we couldn't find that many people who were using the system that their entire technology was kind of built off of. And our message back to them was, this is not strategic.
Yeah, and that's a hard thing being on the investor side of it. We see a lot of stuff that we like. We like the founder, but it's not going to be a fit here. It's not the best place for them. And so we have to be, you know, given the thesis of our fund that stuff has to be based here, you know, sometimes you have to say some hard no's.
Yeah, and I think the willingness to really think on their behalf as an investor,
mm-hmm,
is important. And I don't know that we get excited about stuff, but we don't want to say, like, if we're investing and we relocate them, we might be impairing them. And
that
makes it a bad investment. That makes it a bad deal for them too.
Exactly.
So we get this a lot, and we've kind of alluded to some of this, but coastal ecosystem versus non-coastal ecosystem, broad category, I get that. And it's probably an oversimplification, but, you know, when you think about the New Yorks and you think about the Valleys and you think about, you know, the LAs and stuff like that of the world, kind of in the interiors, right? The Birmingham, Alabama's, the Chattanooga, Tennessee's, the Nashville's, the Atlanta's, the non-coastal cities. What are you seeing as far as, or what do you believe we'll continue to see as a trend? Are we going to continue to see these, like, interior cities, secondary kind of markets kind of continue to grow and thrive? Or do you think we're going to hit some sort of inflection point? What do you think is going to happen?
So it's kind of interesting. If you look at the secondary ecosystem, so Austin, where I spent a great deal of time, that ecosystem kind of grew like crazy. And I was just back there this past weekend, and boy, that's a crowded city. And, you know, it's great. The economy's strong, but I don't know if it's as livable as it was 10 years ago. I have a theory, and I've talked to you about this, and I've shared it with others, that the Southeast, at least, which is where we play, I don't see any one city really dominating and turning into an Austin from a startup perspective. I think it's going to be a little bit more distributed and shared around the cities in the Southeast. And if you think about it, several are doing really great things, each kind of in their own way. So Chattanooga, which people may not know about, is a really strong startup scene. Nashville, Charleston, Tampa, Atlanta, Birmingham, New Orleans, all of those kind of working together with more of a distributed network of investors, advisors, customers. To me, I think that's what we're going to see. And I think that's going to be the strength of the Southeast overall, that you don't have to be in one city, that you're going to kind of get it from all around.
Yeah. And I think I've had at least three conversations within the last week and a half with people in Atlanta or Nashville, et cetera, and been talking about kind of that regional strength and that cooperation within it. And everybody seems to be on board, at least those that have been spending some time in it and really looking at it, seem to understand and embrace that approach, that regional approach versus individual cities.
Yeah, and I, you know, down in Tampa with the Embark Collective, that's the one that Jeff Vinnick, the Lightning founder, he's been behind that, the Tampa Bay Lightning. They've really invested heavily. Part of their mission is to bring the Southeast together, to start accumulating who all those resources are, who are the funders around the Southeast, and to bring those groups together. So, you know, I think it's a very intentional effort, and nobody's kind of siloing off and saying, no, just my community. So I think that's a great, great thing for the Southeast. I think it's going to be really empowering for founders. It's going to give them more options, which I think is great.
So you use the term emerging ecosystems, and that's something that we talk about a lot. And I think that we self-describe, you know, Birmingham and Huntsville and others as emerging kind of startup markets. And within that phase, you know, there's certainly things that you can be doing right, and there's certainly opportunities that you can take advantage of to get better or to grow or to be more sustainable or whatever. What opportunities have been, you know, kind of popping out to you for those emerging ecosystems to get stronger or to get bigger or to get more capable?
Well, I think first and foremost, you can kind of look at the established ecosystems out there, and we're using that term a lot because we're talking about ecosystems. You can kind of see what they've done wrong with their growth, what they've done wrong, really, for me, in a big way, in diversity and inclusion. Almost every ecosystem talks about that as an emerging ecosystem where we're just now getting to set the norms and the rules and kind of the behaviors, which is something you talk about a lot. We can be more intentional about some of those things, and we're not having to change behaviors that are already kind of bad behaviors. So we can kind of look at the others and go, okay, we don't need to do a diversity pledge. Why don't we just be intentional about diversity?
Why don't we just actually do it?
Yeah.
It's really interesting to me to see that opportunity on a timeline.
Yeah.
We have the benefit of hindsight in looking at other markets, in not just the Austins, you know, Boston's, New York's, LA's, you know, San Francisco's of the world, but Atlanta and Nashville, more close to home. What they have done that's been successful and potentially would be successful in other markets that are, you know, in Alabama, and then things that we go, oh God, please don't do that, right? Yeah. If at all, can we please avoid those things? So the opportunity to look at other ecosystems and say, this was really great, this was not. What do you see as the opportunities for getting more of the kind of the academic bases of those states involved? Because that still to me seems a little hit or miss. Sometimes you see some involvement and then you don't, and I just don't see a real kind of continuity to that.
Well, I think every university, every city that has a major university sees that as, or at least the university does, that it should be a center of innovation. I went to University of Texas. It's the biggest school in the country. It's in Austin, Texas. It doesn't play as big of a role as you would think in the Austin ecosystem. It's there, and I think it kind of sits alongside of it, and certainly a lot of people come out of that and go into startups. But, you know, I think universities struggle to be innovators. That's just not really in the makeup of a university. So, you know, I'm all for it, and I'm all for the universities doing what they can, but it kind of goes back to the earlier point about being these large institutions. They're better off putting the resources in the hands of the entrepreneurs and letting them go without all the bureaucracy. And then they struggle with that. You know, tech transfer, every university wants to be Stanford and MIT. Nobody is, and there's a reason. They kind of understand how to do it. They let go and they let the founders kind of run with their companies. Most universities, they don't really understand that.
Own it all. I feel like this is a podcast we could probably publish once a year or once every 18 months. Every year it seems to change. And so we'll probably look at this and go, that was terrible, and that's not at all true anymore, and we'll have to revisit that. But say that as it is, and we'll leave that as it is for now. But in the next episode, we're going to talk a little bit about getting ready to fundraise. Are you in a position to fundraise? Are you a startup founder that's looking to do that? And while we could do a ton of podcasts about that and probably not get any of it right, we're still going to talk about it and at least give you an overview of some of the things that we've seen and just a high-level overview of that. So thanks very much for listening. I've been Matt. That's been Mickey. Take care.